ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम् सेकंड कैंटो थर्ड चैप्टर टेक्स्ट नंबर 17।
आयुर्हरति वैपुंसा वद्यन्नस्तं च यन्नसौ तस्यार्ते यत्क्षणो नीत। उत्तमश्लोकवार्तया। आयुर्हरति वैपुंसा उद्यन्नस्तं च यन्नसौ तस्यार्ते यत्क्षणो नीत। उत्तमश्लोकवार्तया। आयुर्हरति वैपुंसा उद्यन्नस्तं च यन्नसौ तस्यार्ते यत्क्षणो नीत। उत्तम श्लोक वार्तया। कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
Both by rising and by setting, the sun decreases the duration of life of everyone, except one who utilizes the time by discussing topics of the all good personality of Godhead. It's a very famous verse, and Srila Prabhupada used to quote often, Ayur Harati Vaipumsam, Udyan Nastam Chenasa. So how the passing of time has a very great influence on all the living beings of this world, except the devotees, is very beautifully explained in this verse. It is said the time turns the clean faces into wrinkled faces, black hair into white hair, and makes the young into old, and sends the old to the graveyard. That is time. Time is extremely powerful in this world. And people fail to realize the effect of time due to attachment for material enjoyment. The nature of material madness or intoxication is such that it makes one forget the fastly passing time. Like in the scriptures you find, whenever a person is engaged in sense enjoyment, he doesn't know how the time passes very fast. Several years go away in a few moments. On the other hand you find, yugayitam nimeshena chakshusha pravrishayitam Shunyaitam Jagat Sarvam Govinda Virahaname. He says one moment appears like one yuga, my dear Lord, in your separation. Lord Chaitanya prayed. On the other hand, opposite of this is, when one is spending the time in sense enjoyment, one yuga passes like one moment. Very quickly it passes. Practical example is, how when Sugriva was delighting in sense enjoyment, those Chaturma spirit 4 months, they passed away like one moment for him. It passes very fast. Also, that Yamaraj who comes as a small boy and is speaking to the queens who have lost their king, while speaking he says the same thing. How in this world time passes very fastly and we fail to realize the passing time. Every time when the sun is rising and the sun is setting, time has passed away, one day has passed away. In this way, one's life is robbed by the passing time until one faces the inevitable death in this world. So what is the problem with the passing time? If one observes this world, you can see that there is a kind of struggle for survival in the lives of all people, right from Brahma down to the tiniest insect. Everyone is trying to pay attention and using all their cleverness or trying to preserve their stability and stay in the material world and also their enjoyment. There is a constant struggle in this world for self-preservation, for preserving oneself. Actually, it can be easily seen, there is a desire to defend oneself against death in this world. Nobody likes to die. Even a person in the deathbed who is about 80 years or 85 years, he would like some tubes to be put in his mouth and nose and get some artificial respiration to somehow go on surviving for no good reason. He's not going to be able to do any good. But sometimes people keep a person like that for some time. Because the jivitasha, or desire for survival, is very strong. And one is in the material body. No matter how bad situation the body may be in. So, the material world is so designed to facilitate the living entity to remember his ultimate goal. Like for example, from childhood, if you see, as we eat food every day, we keep growing, isn't it? The body keeps growing from childhood to boyhood, and it comes to youth, it is maintained in youth. But then, beyond youth, then there is a degradation of the body. We find then there is dwindling of the body, and then gradually it starts falling apart. Like when one becomes 30, then 40, then 50, and after that there is a phase of the life when one's body starts going down. So I heard one Maharaja was explaining. He was telling why this body is designed like this. He was telling that the old age is a notice for death. Like if somebody gets white hair, they can know that now my life is almost ending. So I know that I have to leave this world, quit this world. So the material nature gives lot of signals to us to remind us about our ultimate duty. My dear friend, now you've gone old. Like the teeth fall away, so you can't bite and eat biscuits and such kind of items which young people may be eating when one's teeth is gone. Isn't it? In the same manner, one's eyes become blurred. One's ears are hard of hearing. One cannot hear so well. Many times, older people, you keep saying, they will keep asking, what did you say? They can't understand. Sometimes they become angry on others, not understanding what they are saying. So, we can see that all their senses, they lose their abilities as one gets old. And one is not able to even sit or stand or walk properly. These are all indications that one, that the death is approaching, so there is a kind of signal given to a living being. You got the human form of life, don't waste it. Take advantage, at least now, in this old age. So in India, people have some ritual that when you become 60 or 70, then you have to go for a Tirthayatra. Go all around India, go to all the holy places. At least people do it as a ritual, at least. Because in old age, one begins to understand how this body is not cooperating. So, he was telling that this body is designed like that. Imagine, for example, from childhood, your body gets stouter and stronger and plumpy and potent and powerful and more, and then it goes on till 100, and suddenly you die one day. Isn't it? If it happens like that, then somebody can blame God. What is this God? My body was so hale and healthy, suddenly you killed me. Isn't it? So, God has arranged the material nature in such a way that one starts beginning to understand at a certain age. The senses don't cooperate. Now what happens by senses not cooperating? Senses are the medium for the living entity to extract enjoyment from matter. So, when the living entity tries to enjoy with the senses, initially the Lord allows him to do what he wants. Like when you are 10, 20, 25, 30, 40, one gets into the game of the material world and trying to manipulate matter. But as one grows old, the ability to enjoy through the sensory organs reduces with all the senses. Like I said, we can't eat what we want. We can't do anything one wants with the body. One cannot run here and there. Like, you know, when we get old, old people say, when I was a small boy, I was running like this. Like children, how they run? You go to the school, that's the school. You can see children, their faces are so bright and brilliant and they are jumping and playing cheerful. When one becomes old, one will realize, oh, I cannot run like the way children are running now. The same person, the body becomes old. So, the old age, as one gets old, one's ability for enjoying is thwarted and that causes frustration. But the frustration can be positively directed by recognizing the duties in the human form of life. As Prabhupada explains here, towards the end. So one can understand that this vehicle of this material body has become useless now. And let me not continue this struggle for enjoyment. Let me give up this struggle. Actually, when we say manashashtani indriyani prakritisthani karshati, that karshati struggle, we are actually warring against nature and warring against Krishna. There is a war going on between us and Krishna, between us and nature. So how can we give up this war? By surrendering to Krishna and by living in accordance with His instructions given in the scriptures. We have to give up that war before we die. If we don't give up the war, then what happens? Again at the time of death we are given one more replacement body where we can continue to war again. Again that body is young, hale and hearty, you can enjoy with the senses and everything for some period of time. So, this is a very wonderful arrangement Krishna has made in this world. It is not that the living entity is awarded a body and he goes on indefinitely enjoying. If that were so, we would glide down to hell, deeper and deeper hell. There would be no chance of upliftment for us. So Krishna has arranged our life in such a way that for some portion of the life we are given enough freedom. And in the other portion of the life, we are reminded, enough of your foolish freedom. Now you surrender now. So the senses, the body, the material nature, all of them, they appear very scary for a person. Oh, now I can't do what I want. I can't get what I want. One begins to realize. So, that is the beauty of time. Ravindra Sar Prabhu, in one of his articles, he says, when we came to Krishna Consciousness Movement in the early days, we heard of many fall downs, we heard of many people unable to control their senses and mind and going out of control and all that. He says, but as years progressed and our old age started setting in, old age also taught us valuable lessons and offered us realizations about the horrible nature of the material world. He says, old age also teaches good lessons, which personally one can know. These are special individual lessons that will be imparted to us, every one of us individually. We will individually get the lesson as one gets older and older. So he says, what the Shastra say we refuse to accept in the beginning. If Shastra says Dukkalayam Ashashvatam, we will say, what Dukkalayam? Especially when you are young, you have a healthy body, our body is like an untethered bull. You can jump, you can run, and one wants to gratify one's senses, especially tongue and sex life. These two things. But then, as one gets old, he says, and the old age set in, the material nature taught us individually personal lessons on how the body falls apart. Along with that old age comes one more thing, which is fear. So, shoka, moha, bhaya, these three things capture a soul when one is in material consciousness. So shoka is lamentation for things that one could not achieve in one's life. Alas, if only I did this, if only I did that, how nice it would have been. So there is lamentation of the past. There is also fear of the future. As one gets old, sometimes one goes to a doctor to check what is my ill health. I should not have, if you get a little chest pain, you are afraid it may be heart attack. Isn't it? Or anything. Nowadays, not only there is fear that I may have ill health, we have fear of the bill of the doctor also. The bill causes more fear than the fear of the disease. Because they are in a mood of exploitation. So, there is fear. Fear of the future and worry of the past. These things are there for those who are materialistic. As this verse says. One who is in material consciousness, they cannot escape from this fear. In fact, the fear is what which causes them the stress and tension and everything. And whether they fear or not, inevitably the materialist will devour them. But he says, in the second part of this verse, that those who are hearing and glorifying the Supreme Personality of God, hearing about the Lord and glorifying the Lord, they are not affected by such passage of time. So I was reading in Servant of the Servant. He explains very beautifully the difference between the material world and the spiritual world. Although many times we have heard this explanation is very special that he gives here. When we have relationships in the material world, relationship in the spiritual world, what is the essential difference? He says in the material world, we have attachment to family and friends. And there is a constant fear of losing those whom we love very much in the material world. Whereas he says, when he became a devotee, strong bonds of affection for Guru, God brothers and God sisters, it replaced the attachment to family and friends, he says. So, the strong bond between Guru and the disciple, and also between God brothers and God sisters, and it's like one family. What kind of bond is that? He's explaining that. That bond is not like the attachment we have for our material relationships. How is it like? He says, in the material world, the material relationships are maintained only by constant attention. For example, think about your uncle or aunt or chachaji or anybody like that. Sometimes the family relation gets cut off. Your experience of this? You used to go to their house and they used to come to your house. And then over the years, you became busy in your family affairs and they became busy in their family. The relationship gets almost cut off. Sometimes even 30, 40 years you never meet. Unless occasionally there is a marriage where everyone come, very rarely they get to see each other. So the relationship gets cut off in the material world. In order to maintain the material relationship, we have to pay constant attention, he is saying, in the material world. Whereas he says, whereas in the spiritual realm, all the devotees are always connected by chanting Hare Krishna. And it is like watering the root of a tree. So he says the leaves and the twigs and the branches of a tree, they all are connected to the root. So one devotee is like one branch, another devotee is like another branch. But they all are common, they all have a common connection. What is it? The root. So if one waters the root, then they feel nourished. So you will find in such a relationship, even if they are separated by geographical distances, even though they may be in different projects doing different things, he says they all are strongly connected by their service to Guru and Krishna. They have a common denominator. So they are very strongly connected. Just like Prabhupada was telling his disciples when he was returning to India, disciples were weeping. So Prabhupada said, why do you weep? You are chanting Hare Krishna in America and I am chanting Hare Krishna in India. So we both are together only. So Hare Krishna is what connects both of us, he said. So he says, this is the way the Daivi Maya works. There is Mahamaya and Daivi Maya. He says, in Daivi Maya, the forms and relationships, they are pure and unchanging in the Daivi Maya, which means the spiritual relationship. There are spiritual forms and the spiritual relationships and they are eternal and they never die, they are unchanging, they are permanent. Whereas he says the Mahamaya, the forms and relationships are constantly decaying, dwindling and changing. Birth after birth, life after life, they are constantly changing. And also the material world is characterized by the duality, which we call it, sukha dukkha, shita ushna, mana paman, this kind of thing, which constantly afflicts the living beings and puts them in suffering. So, he's explaining how the spiritual realm is devoid of the limitation of space and time. You will find one special characteristic of spirituality, or spiritual realm is, that while a devotee may be progressing in Krishna consciousness, the material energy may be robbing off the body externally by causing old age. Say a devotee may become 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80. Externally, a devotee's body may be dwindling. But the spiritual ecstasy never dwindles that a devotee feels, no matter how old one becomes. Like we were in Mayapur Dham, we arranged one session with Subhag Maharaj and all our students, some 200-300 students. So he was giving lecture, Subhag Maharaj. He's pretty old, he must be, I think, 80 or something, 80 or 85. He's very old. So he was giving a lecture, and then one boy asked a question to him. Maharaj, how do we know that we are advancing in Krishna consciousness? We are not aware, we are practicing every day, but we don't know how we are, whether we are growing in Krishna consciousness or am I going down? How we can be sure? And he said a very simple answer. He said, if you are advancing in spiritual life, you will feel ecstatic. He said, you will feel very happy and ecstatic. And that ecstasy will not be thwarted even by old age. And then he said, look at me, how ecstatic I am, he was telling. You know? But he was totally ecstatic. He was not proud. He could see, how he was singing and how he was ecstatic. So when Srila Prabhupada was in San Francisco Ratayatra, you will find there were thousands and thousands of people. And Prabhupada went to the chariot top, climbed up the chariot, and from there he saw the crowd and he was so ecstatic. Somebody gave him a bunch of flowers and he took the flowers and he threw it to different devotees. And he raised his hand and he started dancing himself very happily. Throughout the Ratayatra he was dancing, although he was an old man. And seeing Prabhupada's ecstasy, all the other devotees started dancing, jumping up and down. There was a roaring kirtan and such dance. Prabhupada danced little, but disciples jumped 10 times more. You can imagine, little ecstasy expression of Prabhupada caused so much eruption in the hearts of his devotees. So, it goes to show that old age is no impediment for devotional service, devotional ecstasy. That's why it says, the sun may rob off the materialistic people. It may rob off their time, rob off their body, rob off their money, rob off their property, rob off all their possessions. But as far as the devotee is concerned, the devotee's ecstatic love for loving remembrance of Krishna and the bliss that the devotee feels in the Krishna service can never be robbed off by the influence of time. Another thing that happens to a devotee is our subtle body consisting of man, buddhi, ahankar, it becomes colored or flavored by a certain type of mentality depending on our sangha. Association. Like Krishna says, uses the word karanam, guna sangosya, sadasad yoni janmasu. So we get a sad yoni or asad yoni depending on our association. Some living being is damned to become a pig. Some living entity is, given the body of an angel or a demigod, depending on the sangha, guna sangha. So what is the devotee doing sangha with? A devotee sangha is Uttama Shloka Vartaya. What is the devotee doing? He is hearing and chanting like Shukadeva Goswami said, Tasmad Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Vishwaro Harihi Shrotavya Kirtitavya Smartavya Chaichata Abhayam. So because the devotee is hearing, remembering, glorifying, his subtle body becomes completely colored or flavored with the absorption in the Supreme. So a devotee enters into eternity even while living in this body. devotee's consciousness enters into eternity even while living in this body. It is a state of timelessness. What is timelessness? Timelessness doesn't mean that in spiritual world there is no time. But in spiritual world, the time is under the control of Krishna. In spiritual world. So Prabhupada says, when Mahavishnu is lying in the causal ocean, yasyaika nishvasita kala mathavalambya jivanti loma vilaja jagadandanata. So that verse says, yasyaika, that one exhaling and inhaling of Vishnu causes the universes to come out and go into his body. So when Prabhupada explains about that verse, he says that the time is in the clutches of Vishnu, under his control. Time cannot influence Vishnu, but it is under the control of Vishnu. And beyond that point, the time is completely under the control of Krishna. For example, when the gopis were dancing in Rasa dance, one night, Krishna converted into one Brahma's night. Isn't it? When they were all doing dance. Because Krishna wanted the dance to go on for a long time. So he made it into one Brahma's night. Krishna can do that. Because time is under his control. In his clutches, in his control. So both Krishna and his devotees, they enter into the region of timelessness. Which means time is below them. What is the meaning of this for a devotee? Actually, a devotee is not controlled by the influence of the world. For example, in the material world, we are slaves of somebody who pays us some salary. We become slave of our senses. We become slave of our mind. We become slave of our desire to impress others. We become a slave of someone who gives us sense gratification. We become slave of so many people in this world. You can easily see in this world. And we become a slave of our own desires, material desires, in this world. Whereas a devotee transcends this slavery by surrendering to Krishna. And by surrendering and associating with Krishna, a devotee transcends the time of this material world, which keeps one preoccupied with useless engagements in this world. I told you slavery of so many things. These are the things which take our time, correct? Which are the things that take our time? Like for example, one has material desires, one is preoccupied with so many useless engagements in the world because of those impelling material desires. Similarly, one is a slave to desire, having a desire to impress others, then again one is slave. So when one transcends this slavery, then one is in the same platform as Krishna, with Krishna, free to associate with Krishna. And when one is associating with Krishna, then time is under his control. The time doesn't make him a slave. In fact, such a devotee enters into eternity. And what is the proof? The proof is he becomes fearless. Icchata abhayam. A devotee becomes fearless while facing death. Death causes no fear for a devotee. A devotee is very very happy to quit the body and go to whatever destination next is allotted to him. And devotee has no lamentation or no fear at all. That is actually the symptom of a devotee's consciousness entering into eternity. So a devotee has to see that everything in this world belongs to Krishna and is controlled by Krishna. And I am also Krishna's property. One time Srila Prabhupada, I think he was talking to Kuladri Prabhu, Kuladri Prabhu came and asked him a question. Prabhupada, when we play this Radha Krishna temple song, Govinda Jaya Jaya, Gopala Jaya Jaya, Radha Ramana Hari, Govinda Jaya Jaya, Prabhupada singing, And also many other disciples singing after him. It became very, very famous. So they used to play this Govinda Madhi Purusham and all this recording when they were selling books. So one materialist came and argued with Kuladri Prabhu. He said, what is the difference between playing this cassette and we guys are playing rock music we are playing? What is the difference? It's all the same. So Kuladri Prabhu was telling, no, this is glorifying Krishna. And that rock music is glorifying some rock star. There is a big difference. So that materialistic person, he argued back, he asked him, So when this tape recorder gets old, tape gets old, what will happen to it? It's going to break. And the tape reel is also going to get burnt for a bit of time. Where will it go? He asked him. And the devotee said, everything comes from Krishna. And everything will go back to Krishna. So then that materialist argued with him, if my tape and your tape both are going to go back into Krishna only, how does it matter what song you play? He asked him. So he came to Prabhupada and asked, so Prabhupada, when this tape gets broken and gets burnt, what will happen to it? Prabhupada said, yeah, ultimately it will go back to Krishna. Everything comes from Krishna, it will go back to Krishna, he said. Going to Krishna. Then, Prabhupada is quoting this. Yatova imani bhutani jayante. That verse he was quoting. Everything emerges from Krishna and everything will go back to him. So devotee asked this question. Then Prabhupada, if everything is going to go back to Krishna only, then why worry, about it? Whether we hear rock music or whether we hear Krishna music, how does it matter? Immediately Prabhupada gave an answer without any ambiguity. He said, there is Krishna and Krishna's Maya. Under Krishna's Maya, we suffer. Under Krishna, we become blissful. He said, so the rock star's music, is also music, ultimately that tape also will go into Krishna, but it is under Krishna's Maya. Krishna's Maya makes us suffer. And if you are under Krishna, then we can become happy. That was one thing he said. Another thing he said, while we are alive, before we die, whatever resources are around us, if we use in Krishna's service, that will help us to transcend this world and go back to Krishna. And by using it for our sense gratification, it will keep us bound in this world. Although, ultimately everything comes from Krishna and goes back to Him. We come in the intermediate point, and what we do with it is very, very important. Very, very important. Many times there are so many spiritual organizations. Nobody taught this concept so clearly like Prabhupada. Like there are many organizations where people do some spirituality, but they also continue eating chicken or mutton. They also sometimes read other books also. There are so many people who read newspapers and cinema magazines along with doing spirituality. Prabhupada made it very clear. Any activity you do, we should ask what? Is it for Krishna I am doing, or is it for Maya? Am I serving Maya or am I serving Krishna? Every moment a devotee should ask this question in life, morning to night. How am I spending my time? Because Prabhupada told one businessman in Bombay, every activity that you are doing on Krishna's account, you can write it in your ledger on the credit side. Every activity you are doing for your sense gratification, you write it on the debit side. At the end of your life, you make a balance sheet and see whether you have made a profit or loss, he said. We all can see, because Prabhupada spoke to businessman in business language. Because he will understand credit, debit and balance sheet very nicely. Because he was a businessman. Because all the time he is counting money and writing on credit and debit side, all the time. So Prabhupada gave this example to him. Same thing we all can do in our life also. How are we spending our time? While we are seated in this bodily machine, Yantra Rudhani Maya. While sitting in this bodily machine, how are we spending our time? How much time, energy, resources that are given to us we are using in Krishna's service? How much time, money and resources given to us we are using for our own sense gratification? That will decide whether we will enter into the eternity in our consciousness while being here itself. Or we will, the more one utilizes time and money for accumulating the objects of this world, the more one becomes fearful. That is why when Vidura was preaching to Dhritarashtra, he was telling him, my dear brother, while talking to Dhritarashtra, he was telling, Andhapuraiva Vidura, he said, you are born blind, but you are also spiritually blind. He said, your teeth are falling away, your ears are hard of hearing, your throat is choked with mucus, and you are about to die any time, and I can see that fear has overtaken you, he said. Fear has overtaken you. Because people become fearful, they don't want to die. So he said, if you want to transcend this fear, surrender to Krishna. Taught him, surrender to him. So, One very important lesson we can learn from this purport is the impetus for taking Krishna consciousness very seriously. What are the different impetuses for us to take Krishna consciousness seriously? So one impetus Prabhupada gives at the end of this purport. He says here, there is a guarantee of money is being returned if given in charity. Similarly, a moment passed in the association of a pure devotee by hearing and chanting the transcendental message of Lord is a perfect guarantee for eternal life, for returning back home, back to Godhead. So while we spend our time with studying Bhagavatam or the scriptures, or while we spend our time in devotional service, we can think about this charity example, that every moment it's an investment, it's not a waste of time. Like the karmis think, why are these Hare Krishnas wasting their life? You know, they are giving up all the enjoyments of the world and they are, you know, dancing and singing and, you know, all the time spending time with God, while we people are enjoying everything of the world. Sometimes even a neophyte devotee feels that the karmis are enjoying, I am not enjoying. A neophyte devotee may feel like that. But Prabhupada says here, your foolish neophyte devotee may think, probably I am wasting time, the karmis are enjoying. One may think like that. So he says, no, every moment you spend with Krishna is an investment. Investment for eternal life. So beautiful example of this charity example he gives. So a pure devotee speaks transcendental message, which takes us to a transcendental platform. So that is one impetus for us to perform devotional service. Another impetus Prabhupada gives at the end. He is saying here, in other words, the devotee of the Lord is guaranteed eternal life. A devotee's old age or disease in the present life is but an impetus to such guaranteed eternal life. If a devotee gets old age or disease, like sometimes you hear about, you know, there is a devotee in Ahmedabad, two brothers, Chaturatma Prabhu and Vishwarup Prabhu. They were like normal boys, like any of us. Suddenly at one point of time a disease came in their life, due to which the disease started swallowing the flesh and eating the bones. They didn't die, but the body became twisted and turned completely, hands and legs, and the flesh became completely sucked in and it was all bony. They didn't know how long is it going to go. They tried different treatments and at last they had to have a wheelchair. They were sitting in wheelchair. And they both decided that we will be brahmacharis for our life. Chaturatma Prabhu has already passed away, but Vishwara Prabhu is still there. So you can imagine, for a brahmachari wearing saffron and sitting in a wheelchair, of course their house is quite close to the temple. So parents also come and help them. But their spiritual vigor is so great that they did not blame Krishna. Why did you twist my hands and legs like this? Why have you given me such a deadly disease? I am after all doing devotional service. Why can't I be hale and healthy like others? They didn't blame Krishna. They knew that whatever is given to us is ultimately for our good only. But you can see, he is my very good friend, Vishwara Prabhu. You can see such a smiling, cheerful face. He looks like any normal, wonderful devotee, isn't it? So as well as Gopakrishna Maharaj gives a lot of attention to them. When I went to Vrindavan, when Maharaj was passing by, he saw me talking to them and Maharaj told me he should give them time, to guide them. So, they are giving classes to youth in Ahmedabad, and at any given time there are 60-80 youth sitting every weekend meeting. Each of them has been giving classes. And the crowd started steadily increasing more and more. Because people are coming to see, how is it that somebody is suffering from such a complex disease but is happily speaking Krishna Katha? So disease has not thwarted their enthusiasm in glorifying Krishna. That's the meaning of this verse. Tasya Hriteya Kshanonita Uttama Shloka Vartaya. That although they have a complex disease, if a materialist were to have this disease, probably he would be broken hearted. He may want to commit suicide. Why to live a life like this? What will people think of me when they look at me? And I myself have to, how much struggle it is to go to bathroom and eat food and do all activities. But these people have understood that I am not the body. I am the spirit soul. I am servant of Krishna. And they are simply glorifying Krishna. Very happily. And if you talk to the Vishwarupa Prabhu, you will be stunned. How enthusiastic he is to speak about the strategies of preaching. He is expanding college preaching in Ahmedabad. So, Prabhupada says here, if a devotee is afflicted by some disease like cancer or brain tumor or any kind of complex disease or a migraine headache or this kind of complex diseases, many times we hear of examples of devotees getting cancer and coming to dhams like Mayapur or Vrindavan. Devotees come. Devotee uses the disease to intensify and accelerate his Krishna consciousness. That's what a devotee does. Because the disease is an indication of death that is fast approaching, and the devotee prepares his consciousness like that. Similarly, he says, the old age also, a devotee's old age. Rupa Goswami writes that a devotee in old age, if he becomes little disabled or becomes diseased, one should never feel defeated by the material nature. Or one should not be blaming. For example, some people keep talking about their health all the time. About how, what all problems they are facing. It is useless. Rupa Goswami says that you forget about the effect of material nature on your body. Just focus on Krishna. Just glorify Krishna. Of course, you have to do the needful. It's not that you should not take medicine or anything. You take the medicine and forget it. Do the needful and go on serving Krishna. Because we will not benefit much by discussing about the diseases of the material world. Some people have an elaborate talk on blood pressure. You have heard that? Especially very rich people. Sometimes they talk about, you know, the different levels of blood pressure and what symptoms you find in this and that. And sometimes they talk about heart. They don't talk about transformation of heart. They talk about bypass surgery. Transplanting heart, not transformation of heart. So which is better? Talking about transformation of heart is better than transplanting heart. Because despite transplanting heart, we are going to die. We are not going to live 1,000 or 2,000 years. But when you transform heart, we will transcend death and go to spiritual world. So which is a worthy discussion? So Shastras, actually according to Vedic life, one should not struggle hard to live longer. Whatever destiny gives us, that much we should live and happily leave the body and go. At the same time, one should not kill anyone in the name of mercy killing, euthanasia. That is also not permitted. Nobody has the right to offer mercy in the form of killing. Mercy killing. Because God gives life and He only can take away life. We have no right to kill anyone. In the same manner, nobody should try to live, outlive or live beyond the time allotted for us by putting all kinds of artificial things in our life. We don't have to struggle hard. Of course, if a pure devotee is, if it is possible to keep a pure devotee alive by having a bypass surgery, it's really worth it. Because every moment of a pure devotee's life is so valuable for all the suffering souls of this world. Whereas if a person is creating trouble to himself and others, what is the use of prolonging his life? Already has given enough trouble, better he quits the world soon, rather than giving more trouble. Isn't it? And such people actually have a lot of money and they again extend their life by transplanting the heart without transforming it. So, he says that the devotee's old age in the present life is also an impetus for such guaranteed eternal life. Just a week ago, I got a call from a devotee from Bombay. This devotee was saying that he goes to Jhuku regularly. Now he is retired now. He has been accountant and he has been project manager in many big projects. So he said, I heard a beautiful temple is coming up in Pune. So I wanted to spend my last years near a nice beautiful temple where there are a lot of devotees chanting and dancing. So I want to leave my body in atmosphere of kirtans, pravachanas and bhakta sangha, association of devotees, eating prasad. He said, now I am just retiring, 60, I am becoming 60 now. When will your temple get ready? Tell me, I want to come and stay near your temple. He was telling. I congratulated him. I said, you are really smart. Hmm? You are really brilliant. Very few people have this type of desire. Hmm? But now I have become 60, my body has become old. Now I don't want to simply stick to home, sitting in an easy chair, taking a lens and reading the newspaper, reading all the minute, tiny letters. Half a day, one day they keep reading the newspaper. Evening they take their grandchild for a walk. So Jayadeva Swami Maharaj used to say, this fellow, morning he is reading newspaper, afternoon he is reading some cinema magazines, and evening he is taking the child for a walk to the park or something. And then he says, now I am a vanaprastha now. Now I am retired now. He said, you are not a vanaprastha, you are still at home only. You are studying. Vanaprastha means you should go to one. Or you should go to your ISKCON temple. Prabhupada says there. And there give your body, mind, words, everything in Krishna service. Simply watching TV in the evening. No, I only watch news. Or I only watch some selected pious movies. Good movies. And then taking the child for a walk in the evening. In this way, people remain stuck up at home till the fag end of their life, like 85, 90, until the body collapses to the ground and they become bedridden in a hospital and they leave their body. So actually old age should be an impetus. Shastra say when old age comes, it's a signal. One should immediately turn to Krishna. Before people consider us as useless, they don't want, they should not even utter the word, you are useless. Before that one should go to God. God will never consider you useless. Because Krishna wants everyone back home, back to Godhead. So, in fact, by surrendering to Krishna, one becomes useful. Prabhupada was 70 years. You know, he was not just reading newspaper, watching TV, playing cards, catching fish, you know, talking about some socio-political schemes, you know, which politician should be in the top, which politician should be thrown out and all that. If Prabhupada was doing that, he would not have become so valuable as he is today. So, in such a old age, 70 years of age, he did a miracle which even youths cannot do. Even you and I, if we went to America, we would not have done the miracle what Prabhupada did. In that old age, he set an example for all the people who are retiring. All the people who are retiring, Prabhupada wanted to show that it is not that by becoming old, you become useless element in the house. That sometimes a old man or an old woman has to hear the children talking that, you know, this fellow is getting older and older, getting diseases but doesn't die. It's very painful to hear such things from their own kith and kin. But instead of becoming old and useless, Prabhupada became old is gold. As we say, old is gold. He became more and more valuable. The Vaishnava becomes valuable as he grows older. If he remains a Vaishnava, if he remains under the shelter of Krishna, one becomes very useful in sharing the realizations from the world and from the Shastra and from one's own personal life. One can become more and more valuable. In spiritual life, by becoming old, you don't become useless. So, Prabhupada is saying that the old age or the disease can act as an impetus to attain the guaranteed eternal life. There is also an impetus, old age and disease, And also, as Prabhupada earlier talks, in the earlier part of the purport, endeavors in material life is futile. Endeavors in spiritual life is never baffled. That is also an impetus. But always remember that all the material endeavors will come to a zero at the time of death. But all spiritual endeavors, they are never destroyed. They are eternal. Sarpamatyasya dharmasya. That Prabhupada says in the beginning. See this beautiful sentence. Oral reception of the transcendental messages implies total realization, just as fructification of one part of a tree implies fructification of all other parts. That means this is the only instrument in our body, the ears. The ears which hear the sound vibration. When we hear the sound vibration, pure sound vibration of Bhagavatam, the awakening takes place. How? This awakening is miraculous awakening. Dhruva Maharaj is saying, my dear Lord, after having your darshan, and when the Lord placed the conch shell on his head,
So Guru Maharaj said that, my dear Lord, you have enlivened all my senses, my mind and senses, especially the tongue. You have enlivened my tongue, that my tongue is speaking only pure sound vibration now, Uttama Shloka. And also you have enlivened my eyes, because my eyes are simply satisfied seeing your beauty. My eyes are not now eager to see gold or silver. They are not eager to see land or kingdom or property or elephants or horses. My eyes are simply satisfied seeing your beauty. Yeah. My ears are simply satisfied hearing your glorification. My hands and legs are hankering for rendering service to you. So which means, only by hearing the oral, only the oral reception, it kindles all the senses in the mind of a devotee. That there is a total transformation in the life of a devotee. A devotee's thinking process, a devotee's speaking, devotee's actions, everything becomes totally transformed by such oral reception. That is why I was telling you some time ago that a devotee, by constant hearing about Krishna and also engaging in devotional service, enters into eternity, even while being in this body. Devotee's subtle body enters into eternity, because such a devotee externally appears to be walking and moving in the material world, but his whole consciousness is invested completely in Krishna. Although he may be eating, sleeping, walking, doing the external activities of the body as needed in the material world. Like Prahlad was externally acting, eating, sleeping, getting up, walking. Those activities, the bodily activities were going on, but his consciousness was not there. What is the proof? That means a person is not talking much about material life. Like you will see materialistic people talk about money, they talk about woman, they talk about material arrangements, they talk about their material successes, they also become envious of one another, they compete. So a devotee transcends all these things. That is why a devotee is not in material consciousness. Very easy to understand. A devotee's central subject is Radha and Krishna, nothing else. One important thing here, when we talk about eternity, just like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati tells a famous story of how there was a widow who wanted her son to study under a tutor, mathematics tutor. So the tutor was teaching the child, and the son had come to 7th or 8th standard. She was a poor widow, she borrowed some money from somebody and he was paying the tuition fee to the tutor. And one day, the tutor was telling, let there be a triangle, ABC, and he was telling. She heard it from the other room. She immediately stormed into that room and shouted loudly, what are you teaching my son? You are teaching ABC? That he studied when he was an infant, in his LKG, UKG days. Now he has come to 8th standard and still you are teaching the same old ABC. In this way, you are, every month I am paying you 10 rupees. In those days, 10 rupees was a big amount. Say it's like 1,000 rupees or something now. So I am paying you 1,000 rupees monthly tuition fee and you are cheating us by teaching our son this ABC. And she said, get out of here. Never come here again, she said. Her anger was so much that the tutor could not even give any explanation. So he went out. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati tells this story and he gives a very wonderful explanation. There's a very deep explanation to this. The widow represents the Mayavadis or impersonalists. The impersonalists think that chanting of the holy name or worshipping of the deity, these are all meant for neophytes. They think like that. They think that, yes, we also worship Murti, they have Panchopasana, they have. They worship Ganapatyas, worship Ganesh, Shaivas worship Shiva, and Shaktas worship Durga. And they also have Sauryas, they worship Surya, and then they also have Vaishnava, worshipping Vishnu. But this Panchopasana worship is a cheating worship. Why? Because they use the Murti as a means to go to impersonal Brahma Jyoti. So they say, at one point of time you have to give up Murti Puja. At one point of time you have to give up the mantra jap. They say like that. It's all not needed. Because you have to go to impersonal Brahman. So why? Because they say, what is this chanting Hare Krishna. God has no name, they say. God has no form. But Prabhupada is saying, God has so many names that the Mayavadis have become frightened. How can we keep control of the number of names? Because Krishna gets one name as soon as he performs the Leela. As soon as he climbs on the chariot to drive Arjuna, he gets the name Parsarathi. As soon as he is lying on the lap of Mother Yashoda, from Yashoda Dulal. Isn't it? Yeah. As soon as he sits on the lap of Nanda Maharaj, from Nanda Nanda. Isn't it? So any pastime Krishna does, immediately he gets the name. Immediately. In fact, all the names we call Krishna are all his leelas, his activities. So God doesn't have one or two names. He has how many names? Millions of names. Millions and millions of names, depending on his activities. And here, we find the Mahavad is trying to reject all the names and trying to make God nameless, or make God formless. So Prabhupada says, in this world, everything has a name. What is this? Atal.
What is this?
That. What is this? And everyone here has a name also. Like when you join a school or a college, they give a form. What is the first thing you find in the form? Name, yeah. So Prabhupada says, everyone has a name, everything has a name, every toothpaste has a name, every lane has a name, every city and poor, this poor, that poor, so many poors are there, huh? Isn't it? Every place has a name. And then God, who is the source of all people and things, how can He not have a name? Yes, He will not have a name when you are envious of Him. You are so envious of Him, you don't like His name also. Sometimes you have seen, when you are very envious of someone, somebody takes their name, they become immediately, hey, why is he taking his name? You feel envious like that. So, Prabhupada is telling the story which I told you now. He says the story, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says, it's a widow. Why widow? Widow has no husband. Similarly, Mayavadis have no master. That is why she is a widow. But Vaishnavas, they have master. Krishna is their master. And besides that, these guys think they are very advanced, but how they are not advanced is explained by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He says, when you go to LKG, UKG, you study ABC. And then, as you go to 5th standard, 6th standard, then you coin the words. When you go to 10th standard, you may write prose order sentences. And then when you go to college, you may write poems, you may read poems. So you study Shakespeare, you study Milton, Emerson, you study poems. And then you may write poems also. But if you observe these stages of development, the letters remain the same. But we go for combinations of these letters. More and more, finer and finer combination of the letters make it more and more attractive. Similarly, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati explains that the jiva is always servant of Krishna. Is always servant of Krishna. That fundamental principle never changes. So, sannyasi chitkana jiva, he says, surya kirana sama, he says. The sannyasi or a jiva, he is actually surya kirana, means he is only a ray of the sun. But then Krishna, shadaishwarya purna Krishna, surya upama, he says. Shadaishwarya purna Krishna, surya upama. Which means Krishna is compared to sun itself, but the jiva is compared to a sunlight or a ray of sun, small particle. But although it is true that we are servant of Krishna, as we mature in our service to Krishna, our way of serving Krishna changes. How? Yashoda is serving Krishna by showing a stick. Can you serve like that somebody? Yes, you can. When you love very much. When you intensely love someone. So, the Yashoda Gopi, elderly Gopi, she is admired by you find Gopyadhide Tvaigrita Agasidamata, that verse. Kunti Maharani is admiring Yashoda Mahi, serving Krishna how? By showing a stick. That is also one type of service in the spiritual world. So, the quality of service will become fine-tuned, just like the same letters A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. It becomes more and more complex as you go higher and higher. You start writing poems, singing poems and all with that, which is highly complex. Similarly, devotion service also, as one goes higher, like Arjuna is telling Krishna, Krishna, become a charioteer. That is a very intimate relationship. Still the devotee remains the servant of Krishna. It's not that a devotee
considers himself one with Krishna or claims to be Krishna. Purpose is, Mayavadis are trying to become Krishna, we become greater than Krishna also. He says. So, such Mayavadis also, impersonalists also, they have to be counted amongst these people whose time is robbed of by the passing and setting of the sun. Why? Because such people, because of neglecting to hear the Krishna Katha of the Lord, neglecting the Lord's glorification, they again indulge in the same old material activities which they have given away. They again go back to the same old material activities, useless activities of social service and such kind of activities. There are, like some time ago, we had gone to different temples to see the Brahmacharya Ashram, how they have made. So I had gone to this, what is that, Bandarkar Road or somewhere, that Ramakrishna Mission is there, no? So 3-4 of us had gone to see how they have made the Brahmacharya Ashram and how they have made the temple. So I met one person in the reception, one elderly gentleman, above 60 years, he was rendering service there. So while I was talking to him, so if you see, they have a hospital there, where the sadhus are also serving as doctors, wearing saffron. They are wearing saffron, but they are rendering social service in the hospital. Then, if you go and enter the temple, there is no deity of Radha Krishna or anybody, Vishnu or Ram or anybody. There is only deity of their own Acharya, or Ramakrishna Paramahamsa or somebody. And they are calling him as Thakur. They are calling him as Thakur. We are serving Thakur, Thakur, they are calling. And they are circumambulating him, and they have temple only for him. Of course, it is not wrong to have a beautiful temple kind of thing for an Acharya opposite to the Radha Krishna temple, like we have in Vrindavan for Prabhupada, outside in the entrance. It's not wrong. But making that as the only temple without worshipping Radha and Krishna, Lakshmi Narayan, Sitaram, the Lord, ignoring the Lord, worshipping them like that, and they are doing social service. Now, what is the mentality are they developing by such social service? You can imagine, everywhere you go, people are wearing saffron, they are doing social service. Simply feeding the bellies. The bellies are going to die out sometime. People are going to perishable bodies, feeding the bellies and perishable bodies. So they will never develop any loving attraction. Na utpadiyet yadiratim shramayevahi kevalam. If by doing any activity in this world we don't develop loving attraction for Krishna, that activity is useless. It is simply useless. So that is the standard of this verse also. Uttama shloka vartya means every day, every moment we should invest in developing a better understanding about Krishna, a better understanding about devotees of Krishna, better understanding about the relationship between Krishna and his devotees, and a better understanding of our own deficiencies, better understanding of how I can fine-tune my consciousness, how I can improve the quality of my consciousness, how I can improve the quality of my service to devotees and service to Krishna, how I can expand Krishna's service more and more, how I can engage more and more suffering living entities into the fold of Krishna consciousness movement, bring them to the lotus feet of Guru and Krishna. This contemplation is worthy contemplation because it is aimed at eternity. It is aimed at Krishna's lotus feet. So this will actually awaken our love for Krishna. Otherwise, one can be a housewife, one can be a man going to office, one can be a brahmachari. What is my consciousness? That's very important. If it is not aimed at developing the rati, na utpadiye yadiratim shamayevahi kevalam samsiddhir haritoshana. So these people are trying to do samsiddhir samaj toshana, or samsiddhir belly toshana, isn't it? Samsiddhir kutumba toshana, samsiddhir mana toshana, samsiddhir buddhi toshana, samsiddhir indriya toshana. No, what we have to do, samsiddhir haritoshana. So when we do haritoshan, it's like watering the root, then all the branches, leaves, everything gets nourished automatically. So we have to thank Prabhupada for enlightening us so wonderfully through his purports. Such clear, crystal clear explanation. Because what appears obvious is serving people appears good, isn't it?
Prabhupada writes in one place, one energy cannot serve another energy. Prabhupada says, energy has to serve the energetic. Like, you know that story of all the limbs of the body went on a strike. If the hand says, oh my dear leg, are you feeling weak? I'll massage you so that you won't feel weak. If the hand and leg are cooperating with each other without cooperating with the stomach, both the guys will suffer. Isn't it? Can the hand help the leg or the leg help the hand? No. They all have to feed the stomach. Then only they can get strength. Similarly, in this world we find people, some people are saying that I will help one class of people suffering. And in this way, the nationalists and the altruists and the social workers and communists and all these people, they are not friends of the suffering living entity. They cannot do any good because they don't know what is real good. The real good is to awaken Krishna consciousness in the heart of everyone. Because Prabhupada says, all good projects in this world which are not centered around Krishna, they will all come to an end. Prabhupada writes in one place. Even if it is a social project or a community welfare project or a cultural project, there are so many organizations nowadays, if you see, they claim to be working for the welfare of people. They cannot do any good. Because the nature of the world is, it defeats everyone and everything. Everything gets swallowed by the sands of time. That is the way the material world is. But if somebody teaches Krishna consciousness, then both the person teaching it and both the other person who is hearing it, they both can transcend time. They can transcend the material world. So Shukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj are ideal example. They have entered into timelessness zone. How? By discussing Krishna Katha. They are not stopped or they are not thwarted by any material obstacle. He's constantly speaking, he's constantly hearing. And that way they are relishing Krishna. They are tasting Krishna. And they are distributing that sweetness of Krishna to all the people who are in the time to come, like all of us. So there is no better service. In fact, we are doing certain activities that apparently appear material. For example, having this establishment in a temple, having vehicles, and running a management structure in the temple, and eating, sleeping, and we have many activities to do. But all these activities should be aimed at samsiddhir haritoshana. If they are not aimed at it, our life is simply useless. So moment after moment, hour after hour, day after day, one should be conscious that my bodily machine, yantra, is gradually, I am maintaining it, but it is gradually deteriorating. Just like, for example, you get a sumo. How many years a sumo survives? Lakshmana Prabhu? 8 years? Nine years. The sumo. Newly buy a sumo, how wonderful it is. How wonderful it runs. Fragrant smell is also coming from a new sumo when you buy. And all plastic covers are put. You have to tear them and then you start driving. It looks very nice. And gradually, even if you maintain it nicely, first year, second year, then you can see the condition of the vehicle. Correct? Gradually goes on. And after 9 years, it simply becomes a scrap. Good for nothing. Similarly, our body also is a yantra given to us. It's a vehicle. And we are the user of the vehicle. We are the driver of the vehicle. How we want to use it is in our hands only. We can utilize it to awaken Krishna consciousness very nicely. By utilizing. So, best time management expert means one who is able to utilize his time to awaken Krishna consciousness in oneself and give maximum Krishna consciousness to other people. Such a person is the best time manager. Otherwise, there is no use of expertly managing time if you are forgetting Krishna. There is no use in expertly managing time. So I had given a heading to this verse. Importance of time management to advance in Krishna consciousness. This is actually talking about the value of human form of life. Yesterday, did you all hear what Prabhupada said? He says, if you go to some place, there are some plates of food kept, or even in somebody's house, you will not go and snatch the plate and eat immediately. Correct? Why? The civilization stops us. If they say that, please take, then only we accept. We have to get an invitation, right? But if a dog or a cat comes there, what they will do? They will pounce upon it immediately. Similarly, Prabhupada is saying, when a dog is going in the street, immediately it sees a she-dog, immediately there is raping, he says. or a cat or a dog, they immediately rape without any shyness in the public. But a man is going, a woman is walking, even if he is becoming lusty, in the public he will not want to do such a thing.
Why?
The civilization stops. This is the meaning of human life, he says. Like we are all wearing shirt and pant, everything, dress we are wearing, why? Now dog and cat, they don't wear dress, because there is no civilization. So human being means civilization. Civilization begins from human life only, true civilization. Now this is a very basic aspect of civilization. Now, after doing these basic things of self-control, beginning self-control is to behave in a decent way as we are saying now. And then the purpose of self-control will be well understood if one studies the scriptures. Atato Brahma Jignasa. And the purpose of controlling mind and senses is to direct all our mind and senses in service of the master of the senses, Krishna's service. When we do that, then we will not be artificially repressing our senses, but we will be positively utilizing them for a higher purpose. And then the senses become purified. Then material world, spiritual world, what is the difference? There is no difference for one who has awakened Krishna consciousness. Mantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhaktavinda ki. Thank you very much.